1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Let's look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, now with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are ye able. For ye are yet," what does it say? "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I'm a Paul, another, I'm Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers, by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So that neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." Let's read together that next phrase, that first phrase. Ready? Begin. "For we are laborers together with God." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for the joy of experiencing your grace in our life. We certainly don't deserve it. We haven't earned it. It's been freely given to us. And what a joy it is to be on this side of the gospel, the sending side, the going side, the telling side. And I pray that you enable us today to do great work for thee. And Lord, we know that apart from you, we can do nothing. And we need your help. We pray that you'd bless, empower us, break us, use us for your honor and for your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Many of you may be asking why all the excitement, why all the planning, why all the adjustments in our schedule, why canceling classes, the emphasis on this open house. Are we just trying to get a big crowd? Are we just trying to have a big day? But we must understand the stakes are huge. It's life and death. Today is the last day of Major League Baseball before they go into the postseason. And there are some teams that are going into this day, and it's life or death for them. They're going to go into this day, and they have to win, and maybe another team has to lose so that they could advance and to go into the playoffs. And for them, it's life and death. And those ball players are willing to sacrifice and to do whatever it takes for them to take that next step to get into the playoffs. And it's an amazing thing, though, that even if they got into the playoffs and won that playoff card game and got into the division series and then into the World Series and win, a few years from now, we'd all forget who won the World Series. Because honestly, it really doesn't matter. But what we're about to do today, it matters. And I believe at times we don't realize that it matters. I think at times we realize that we would say, yes, it matters. It's life and death. It's heaven and hell. But it doesn't get to the point where it comes from our head to our heart that it changes the way we live. It doesn't change us the way we go about our life, that we're kind of here because we're supposed to be here, because this is what we do. The Wednesday before our open house, we gather together and we get some encouragement and we get a map and we go out in our community, we knock on 50 doors and we come back as if that was it. And I want to challenge each of us to realize it's much bigger than that. Because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye work of iniquity. I want you to turn your Bibles, if you would, to Revelation chapter number 20. Revelation chapter number 20. In verse number 11, the Bible says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the dead in hell delivered up the dead that which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of the fire, which is the second death. And whosoever, let's read verse 21, 15 together, ready? And whosoever was not found written in the books of life, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. As we ponder that, and as we meditate upon that, and as we allow that truth to penetrate not our minds, but our hearts also, that the people that we'll come in contact with today, if their name is not written in the book of life, and when they die and when they stand before that judgment, they're going to be found guilty, and they'll be cast in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. And we need to come to the point of realization that what we're about to do has eternal ramifications attached to it. So this morning, as we think about the world is our harvest field. But let's bring it down a little bit closer to home. The Antelope Valley is our harvest field. Now let's bring it a little bit closer. Lancaster, Palmdale, Lake LA, Roseman, Quartz Hill, Acton, Pear Blossom, Little Rock. Now, let's bring it down a little bit closer. Beach. J4. Rasac. Tally. Lumber Street. Essex Street. These streets that we knock on. Listen, this is our harvest field. And each and every one of us, we need to come to the point of realizing that we must labor and we need to pour our lives into this day. The reason why, Jeremiah chapter number 8, verse 20. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. We are not saved. The harvest is past. So as we ponder and think about the harvest this morning, let's first of all look at this thought, the potential for the harvest. The potential for the harvest. Look what the Bible says in verse number 6. Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but here it is. But God gave the increase. So that neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. How can we reach our potential? No, this is better. I want to see what God can do. Not what I can do, not what you can do, but I desire to see what God can do through us. Now think about it. It's not our potential together collectively. It's like, you know, if we do our part, we get to stand back and then we can see what God can do. You know what I'm saying? I'm tired to see what Jerry can do. I'm tired of that because I know what I can do. Nothing. I want to see what God can do through my life. And I pray that we together can see what God can do through all of us together for the cause of Christ. So how can we see his potential? First of all, we got to follow his command. The command for each of us is to go into the harvest field. We know that. We know that it's very basic. The Bible says in John 15:16, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." Jesus said unto them, "Peace be unto you, as my Father sent me, even so send I you." And we know what Mark 16:15, "And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Each of these verses, they challenge us and remind us of the great command that Christ has given to us, and that is to go. We are taking the gospel to this world, and we need to realize it is our ultimate responsibility to take this message to every single person that we can. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 11, "According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust." In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, the Bible says that we have been committed to the ministry of reconciliation. This is something that God has placed in each of our hands, and you and I, we must be committed to own this responsibility and to take this message to every single person we can. Now the question is this: will you own that responsibility this morning? Will you embrace it? Will you receive it and say, you know what? I understand that God has given to me this wonderful message of Jesus Christ, and it's my responsibility now to take this message to every single person that I can. Will you own that? Will you embrace it? Will you kind of shake yourself out of your comfort zone and realize that there's people all around you that need to hear about Jesus Christ? And it's our responsibility to take this message to them. I'm so glad that someone came to me. I'm glad that someone knocked on my door, encouraged me to come, and kept on reaching out, that finally I came to a point where I realized that I needed a Savior. I pray that you and I would be committed to this. Years ago, I met this family that came to church. I met them in the back here in the north building. And they wrote their name down in my bulletin. Their name was the Williams family. They lived right off here on 17th Street East in Avenue K. And I got their name down. I was excited about that during the 8:30 service. And we went over to the home builders class. Back then was in Modular C. And taught our class. And as I was teaching Brother Getz, I kind of emptied my Bible out. I kind of put all my notes inside the pulpit right there. And it was just started teaching away and got excited about our lesson. After class, we ran over to the North Auditorium for the second service, and I was sitting on the platform, began to go through my Bible and said, "Oh man, I forgot my bulletin there. I got to get that. It has the Williams and their address, and I need to go visit them." So throughout that service, I'm reminding myself, "I got to get over there. I got to get over there. I got to get that bulletin out. And I need to get that address. I need to make that visit on Tuesday night." Well, after church, and went over to Modular C, and the Spanish ministry at that time was meeting in that building. And their service was still going on, and said, "Okay, I'll get that bulletin after, before the evening service." And so I went home for lunch and had lunch and came back and went over there and went over to the pulpit, looked inside, and the pulpit was empty. I said, "Oh man!" So I went over to the garbage can, started looking in the garbage, and I realized that the Spanish ministry had a fellowship. And you know, with the Spanish ministry, you know, they have beans and rice and salsa and, you know, the heavenly manna from God. But I tell you what, it was a mess. I started kind of going through there and looking for it. I couldn't find it. And I was a little frustrated. And I thought, well, you know, at least I tried. And I gave it a good shot and went to the service that night, went home, and I wrestled with that. Man, it was just on me. And it was like the Lord wouldn't let me sleep. He said, "Man, I got to get that address. I got to get that name. It's somebody that God brought into my life, that my life crossed their life. And it's my responsibility to reach them." I couldn't sleep. I was wide awake. I was like, "Man, that's my responsibility." So that next morning I got up and I remember going over to the garbage can, the big dumpster where Pastor Parks' car, that used to be the garbage can area. And I remember taking my suit coat off. And I remember climbing into that dumpster, going into that dumpster and opening up garbage bags and going through the refried beans and the salsa and all that other gook that was in there. And I remember coming to this one bag, and I opened it up, and I saw some home builder bulletins in there. And I'm thinking, okay, it's got to be in this bag, and I'm looking through there. And I finally pulled out my bulletin that had the Williams name on there. And I said, Lord, I'm going to visit this family Tuesday night. And as I went to that home on Tuesday night, and as I sat there in the living room and began to share the scriptures with that family, praise God that Mr. Williams accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. And you want to know something? As I walked out of that house, I was so thankful that God impressed upon my heart to own that little bulletin that had their name and address on there. Now I want to challenge you this morning, class, that you and I, we need to own this responsibility of taking this message to every single person we can. Let me ask you, do you own it? Have you embraced that responsibility? Oh, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 28, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We find here in Matthew chapter 28 some of the Lord's final instructions to his followers, to his disciples. As we ponder this, first of all, we see this. We see his words were of importance, because Jesus spake unto them. Now think about that. Think about if Dr. Rasmussen called you up to his office later today. And as you walked into his office, he said, now I want you to sit down for a minute. And you sat down in his office, he said, now I got some words I want to speak to you about. Got something I got to share with you. I believe each and every one of you, and I know I would, if he called me into his office right now, tomorrow, whatever he would say, there would be a sense of importance to that. And I would be ready to receive what he would have for me. Now, we need to realize that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God himself, spoke these words to you and to me. They're important words. But they also, these words brought great instruction. He says, I want you to go, and I want you to teach, and I want you to baptize, and then I want you to disciple. But then we see the words of inspiration. He said, I am with you always. Isn't that exciting? So not only do we see that these words were important words, but they were also instructive words, but then there were inspiration words. I love what Dr. Siss has said about this portion of Scripture. His last command should be our first priority. So we see the command, but let's look at, second of all, the condition. The condition of our harvest field. And you want to know something? Things haven't changed much. In Jesus' time to all the way to our time, the condition is still the same. The Bible says in verse number 35 of Matthew chapter number 9, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease. But when he saw the multitudes, I'm thankful that he saw the multitudes. I'm thankful that he sees them as individuals. Now listen, we need to see the people today. And when he saw the multitudes, the Bible says he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Now listen, I'm a city slicker. I get around farms, I get nervous. I'm not a country pumpkin. I'm not. I like steel. I like pavement. I like cars. I like people. I like restaurants. I like hustle and bustle. I'm from the city. And I love that. And I know, Dr. Gates, you're from the country. But guess what? I do know this about the country, and I know something very little, not much, about sheep. Sheep are dumb. Now, even a city slicker knows that, and you're from the city too, all right? Sheep are dumb, and sheep get very skittish. And sheep are helpless. They need a shepherd. And you realize when Jesus saw the people, he saw them as sheep going astray. They were fainting. They were scattered. Listen, they were prime pickings for the wolf. And there's a lion out there, and he's walking about seeking who he may devour. And he wants to devour, and he wants to bring to hell with him every single person that he can. And that's why it's important for you and I to lift up our eyes and to look into the fields. And we need to see the fields white already unto the harvest. Now let me ask you, as we ponder the condition of the field, as we ponder the harvest today, will you see the people? Will you see the needs? But then we see the crisis. Matthew 9:37, and he said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. But the laborers are few. Now, Doc, as I was sitting up here, and I just looked out at this group of, hopefully, laborers. I looked at just this group right here. And I said again, if we would all labor. If we would all labor. If we would all labor. And I'll be honest with you, I know some of you, you're not going to labor. We know that. We know you're here. You're sitting here. You're being challenged day after day after day to pour your life out for Christ. But I know this. Not all of you are going to labor. But I want to challenge some of you today to roll up your sleeves and decide that you're going to labor today, that you're going to pour your life out for Christ, that you're going to roll up your sleeves and say, you know what? I'm not going to kind of just walk through this day. I'm not going to just kind of walk through this weekend, but I'm going to labor. I'm going to labor. I'm going to put forth an effort. I'm going to put my hand to that shovel. And I'm going to work. I'm going to till that ground. I'm going to turn that dirt. I'm going to labor. I'm going to sweat. Ladies, you can perspire. Monday, I took one of our men out. And I said, are you ready to labor? He said, yes. And I said, we're going to go out. It's 10 o'clock. It was 9:30. I said, we're not coming back until 5. I said, are you ready to labor? One of our laymen. And he said, I'm ready. I'm with you. And I said, you got your walking shoes on. He said, I'm ready. And we labored. From 9:30 to about 2 o'clock, we finally stopped and got a bite to eat. As we were getting out of his car, his back was drenched. I mean, his face was red. He was laboring. Now, let me ask you a question. Those that are preparing for the ministry, I could give a rip what you can do about the computer. I could give a rip what instrument you play. I could give a rip all those solos that you sing. I want to ask you a question. Are you in labor? Are you in labor for souls? Because they're in a balance this morning, kids. They're in balance. And listen, it's up to us to take this message to them. We must be willing to what? I can't hear you.
Labor.
Labor. These men know how to labor. But they're trying to instruct you and challenge you to learn how to labor. It's not a bad word. It's a good word. We're laborers. We need to work. But that's a crisis. Hey, we're not lacking for lost souls. We're not lacking for people that are searching for answers. They're all around us. But what we're lacking are laborers, those that will labor for the King of Kings. But then we see the concern. the concern. Let me ask you, do you care? And I know the response, oh, yes. Oh, yes, Dr. Goetz, I do care. Oh, Dr. Goetz, yes, I do care. And I'm sure we would all say that. I hope so, amen. Okay, but let's dig a little bit deeper. How much are you willing to sacrifice to meet the needs of the lost? How much are you willing to give of yourself to take this message to the lost? How much are you willing to really just pour your life? I'm not talking about just knocking on some doors today. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where you have a deep concern that you're willing to labor, you're willing to work. There's a sense of brokenness in your heart. Oh, the Bible says that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believed. And the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. As we were serving and laboring on Monday, one of the men, Brother Robert Baker, Brother Goddard, you know him. Led him and his family to the Lord. They're new Christians. They're rough Christians. He called me up and he said, one of the workers that was I was soul-winning with, and he kind of met them. They were doing some work there for our city in one of the streets, and kind of gave him an invitation. His co-worker, so love for you to come visit. About 35 minutes later, he called and said, "Hey, I was talking to Tony, and Tony's not saved. Would you come back and talk to Tony?" I said, "Sure, I will." I said, "Where are you guys at?" And he kind of told us. And Brother Rupert took me because he met them and went over there. And I started talking to Tony. And Robert said, "Robert's kind of rough still, rough around the edges." And he said, "He's lost and he's going to hell." And poor Tony, you know, standing there, "Okay, I'm lost and going to hell." And Tony said this, "Can you help me?" Oh, yes. Tony had some questions. 30-some years old, young man. But guess what? There was one that had a concern for him. His co-worker. And you want to say, he didn't really know how to go through the scriptures and share the truth with them. But he called me up and said, "Hey, would you come back? Would you come talk to Tony?" And thank God, right on that street corner, Tony bowed his head and prayed and accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. And today, if he were to die, he's going to heaven. Amen. I'm so thankful for that. Man, he passed from darkness to life, from death unto life. And Tony is a child of God, just like you and like me. Why? Because someone cared. Someone had some concern for him. Then we see the cure. What's the cure? We know the cure. The cure is the gospel. It's Jesus. But listen, do you realize that you hold the cure? You do. I do. We hold the cure. We have the medicine. We have the prescription. We have it. We have the cure for man's problem, the sin problem. I love what Paul said. He says, "For as much as me is, I am ready to preach the gospel." Why? Because I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew and also unto the Greek. May I challenge you, realize you have the cure. You have the cure for man's problem. Now, the sad thing is sometimes, you know, they're so blinded, they're so lost that they don't even realize they have a need. They don't even know that they have a problem. But that's why we have His Word. And that's why we have His Holy Spirit. And as we labor, we could open up God's Word, we could share the truth, and God could do a great work. I want to challenge you today. I think we all understand we need to go. Man, we need to go. He's commanded us to go. We need to have that commitment as we go. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Listen, not every door I knock on do people get saved. Not every door I knock on do people come to church. I do know this, if one does, man, I'm excited about it. Hey, I'm going to be real with you. I would love to see it. I would love to be able to pack this whole section with people I just met this week. And if all the people that said that they would come, I could probably maybe get almost more than, probably 3/4 of the section. But I also know this, that they're not all going to come. But you want to know something? If one family comes, just one, I'm going to be one happy camper. Because there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Just one. Now, there could be a whole lot of rejoicing in heaven if a bunch of people get saved. But you want to know something? Listen, I just want to have one family here. I've got several committed, and I'm going to work this. Now I'm going back out today. I'm going to go back out tomorrow and tomorrow night and Friday and Saturday. I'm going to go out there because you want to know something? I realize that there's a harvest out there. And I know the night cometh when no man can work. And I know that it's appointed unto man once to die, after that the judgment. And I know this, I got the cure. And if you're saved, so do you. Now listen, let's not just kind of go through the motions. Let's labor. Let's say that. Let's
labor.
Let's say it again.
Labor.
Let's what?
Labor.
Let's labor. Let's labor. Because listen. Because one day we won't labor any longer. One day we will rest. One day we'll rejoice. One day we'll reflect upon what we have done here. And guaranteed, we will be thankful that we labored. And I think, you guys can correct me, I think there'll be a moment when we wish we would have done more in heaven. And young people, I know as you sit there, there's some that your thoughts are right now, I will labor one day. I will labor one day. That one day may never come. We do have today. Will you labor with us? And will we labor, here it is, with God today? Will you?